WT, our instrumentalist. Y'all do a great job, and we love you and thank the Lord for you. And I got to thinking a while ago, I sure am glad that my preaching is not coordinated with music. Now, the reason is because the music's always wonderful and always great, but that way you could cut me off anytime you got ready to. Y'all didn't laugh at that one, did you? I want to share with you a couple of things this morning in the way of introduction. First of all, it's been humorous and entertaining for me to watch you as you've opened up your bulletin and as you looked at the sermon outline and you thought, dear sweet Jesus, we're going to be here to the second coming. That could be any time, by the way. The Lord's good, isn't he?
Amen.
But I want you to know that I'm aware that I have Philippians is one of my absolute favorite books. And I preached from Philippians on several occasions. I remember a couple of years ago, Miss Betty, I preached this outline. And Miss Betty said, I'd like to have a copy of those notes. I don't know if you still got them or not, Miss Betty, but you got an extra copy right now.
Yes.
But I wanted this morning not for us to go over the same sermon that I preached a couple times before from Philippians. I just want to spend some time with Jesus this morning. Is that all right?
Yes.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Say it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul, writing to the church, talks about the names of our Lord and the name above all names. And this morning, we're going to look just for a few moments at five aspects of the name which is above all names from the passage before us this morning. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Now, Paul has already spent a little bit of time telling the Philippian church how much they meant to him, how much he loved them, how much he thanked the Lord for them. And then he wants to sit down and he wants to challenge them now to keep on keeping on and keep their eyes on the Lord and their feet on solid ground and stay faithful, as the choir sung this morning. Beginning in verse 5 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be clung to, held on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name above all names. Paul wanted the Philippians to know there's nothing else more central to the gospel than honoring the person and work of the lovely Lord Jesus. And his name is above the name of Muhammad, above the name of Buddha, above the name of Confucius, above all the world has put out there in front of us. We serve a God who's the one and only Son of God, whose name is above all names. And Paul begins by saying his name is a selfless name. Sometimes we have a hard time grasping, I know I do, the significance of what it meant for God, the Almighty God, in the person of his Son, to step to this world through the womb of a virgin maiden and take our place on Calvary's cross. The name above all names is a name of above all names because it is a selfless name. I want you to think about it. Jesus left the portals of glory, where he was heaven's pure delight, and he left all of that glory there in heaven to come and be born of a young maiden woman and take our place on Calvary's rugged tree, to die in our place so we might have life abundantly and life eternally. In our passage before us, especially verses 6 and 7, Paul reminds us of what that was all about. He was in the form of God, equal with God, co-equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, or emptied himself, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus stepped down from the portals of glory and left the throne room of heaven in order that he might redeem us from the penalty of sin and sorrow and become our wonderful Savior. Folks, listen. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we've got a wonderful, marvelous, incredible Savior we serve. And Paul reminds the Philippians he's wonderful because he's got a selfless name. It's a name above all names. No one ever cared for me, the songwriter said, like Jesus. No one ever could have paid the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. And so the name above all names is, first of all, a selfless name. When Jesus laid aside the regal robes of glory and the crown of heaven to step to this world and die and take our place on Calvary's cross. There is a name. I love this. I love to hear. I love to sound it, to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Why? Because it's a selfless name. He took my place on Calvary's tree. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. I like this one. I love, in fact, you just don't know how hard it is for me to resist breaking out and singing these hymns. I tell you, I love them, but I've heard myself sing, so I won't do that. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. There's something about that name. Folks, there's something about the name above all names. His is the selfless name, and that's why his is above all other names. Praise be unto God for the precious and priceless name of Jesus our Lord. His is the name above all names because it is a suffering name. Look at verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Romans were outnumbered in the population of their world 6 to 1. For every million Romans and people who lived in and around Rome, there were 6 Jews that were taken captive from the land. And so the Jews had to devise a plan to curtail runaway slavery, because there was a real problem, slaves running away from their masters in the Roman economy. And so the Romans devised crucifixion as a way to curtail runaway slavery. Were you aware that it had that background? To curtail runaway slavery. And the Romans would put up a cross and put it at a major thoroughfare in an intersection. And there a convicted criminal would be nailed to a cross and would be sentenced to death in that horrible fashion. There was no death more horrible, more horrific, more anguishing, more miserable, more horrible in every possible way than for a person to be nailed to a cross. And criminals were nailed to a cross. The cross was erected at a major thoroughfare so the passersby could see the cost of what it meant to rebel against the Roman government. Jesus loved us so much, folks, he took our place on Calvary's cross. His is a selfless name. His is a suffering name. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Think about it. He hung on that cross for those hours. He hung in the mockery of that culture that day as people would walk by and would wag their heads, as Roman soldiers would mock him and tell him to come down from the cross. Jesus bore our sin on Calvary's cross. And all of God's wrath for all the sin in this world was poured upon Jesus. And he became the one his name was above all names because his name was a suffering name. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. The cross is the most horrible scene anybody can imagine for Jesus to lay down his life on Calvary. But you see, that's why his name is above all names. Jesus died on the cross. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Thank God for the suffering of our Lord on Calvary's cross. He took our place. He paid our price. The name above all names is exactly that, because the name is a sovereign name. Look at verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. By the way, folks, the Lord has declared, not suggested, not recommended, but declared, Jesus is the one whose name is above all names. There is none other like unto the blessed, sweet, wonderful, adorable Lamb of God. His selfless name is above all names. His suffering name is above all names. And also his sovereign name is above all names. He is the one that every knee shall bow before. And one day the every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His is a selfless name. His is a suffering name. His is a sovereign name above all others. But it's also a sufficient name. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So what do you mean, Brother Jack, a sufficient name? When Jesus died on the cross, remember, the earth shook, the sun's face was hidden. The thief said, surely this was the Son of God. Well, the soldiers said that. But the truth is, Jesus died a death that opened the way to heaven. Remember what happened in the temple? That the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the holy of holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The way into the holy of holies was made open to every repentant man, woman, boy, and girl, because his was the name above all names. Jesus' name was a selfless name. His name was and is a suffering name. His name is and was a sovereign name. And a sufficient name. By the way, Jesus paid it all to him. Oh, there's no sin debt that I can pay myself. I don't have the capacity. But I'm grateful for a Savior who paid the price, paid it fully for you and for me on Calvary's cross. And I love this one. The name of Jesus is a saving name. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The most wonderful gift that God gives us is the gift of salvation, eternal life. Think about it. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid my sin debt. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for my sin. And he invites me to come as a repentant child, as a wayward child, and confess our sin and call out to him for forgiveness and for remission of sin and for a relationship. His name is a wonderful name because it's a saving name. Not only did the dying thief rejoice to see that, I wonder what happened to that soldier that said, surely this was the Son of God. But I do know this. Generations later, thousands of years later, there was a little boy in Lacey Spring, Alabama, who heard the good news that there's a name above all names. And Jesus loved him, and David gave his life on Calvary's cross and could change his life. That little boy was your pastor. And I want you to know, I'm grateful for the name above all names. I couldn't pay my way to Calvary's cross, but Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Folks, that's why the name above all names is so important. Nothing we do is more significant than declare the goodness of God and the ability of our Lord to forgive sin and change lives and give us a home in heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. The name of Jesus is the most sovereign, most wonderful name, the most supreme name, but is he the supreme Lord in your life? Has there been a time when you've confessed your sin and invited Christ to become your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time when you realized that you needed Jesus and he paid the price for you? Is there somebody maybe here who saved and has given your heart and life to the Lord? But maybe for some reason, things have not always been what you'd hope they'd be, and And maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. Didn't lose your salvation, but lost your joy. Maybe there's somebody here who life circumstances have come crushing in on you. And you've lost that desire to see another day because it's been overwhelming for you. Jesus is an enough Savior. He's an enough God to meet you right where you are. He's a God of peace, a God of grace, a God of strength, and a God of a new beginning. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why do I preach about Jesus? Because he's so good to me. Yes. And his name is above all names. And the sweetest name that ever we've heard is the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's a name, his name is like no other name. Do you know him? Are you living for him? Are you serving him? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Sometimes it's good for us just to pause and just hang out and think about Jesus, the name above all names. Bow with me, would you please? Lord.